decade.
Oh, yeah.
Ready?
Busy person.
Okay, we'll go ahead and call the Common Council meeting to order. It is 7:03 p.m. on July 22nd. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Weigold.
Here.
Warwick.
Here.
Coleman.
Here.
Henrod.
Here.
Simpson.
Here.
In front of you are the minutes from the June 24th meeting. Have you all had a chance to review them? And can I have a motion to approve?
Make a motion to approve the minutes of June 24th as presented.
Second.
Okay. Ben motioned and Dan seconded. All those in favor show by the usual sign. Are you going to abstain? Well, I can't approve them without your vote, Bill.
You were here.
Oh, you were here.
You were here.
I'm sorry, I thought this was one I missed.
No, this was 21. Okay. So Bill and Ben and Dan approve, and Nicole and Jackie abstain. Okay, next up are the minutes from the July 8th meeting. Is there any changes or corrections?
You were not here.
Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Ben. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous with Bill abstaining.
That's the one I'm abstaining.
Okay. Next up is a rezoning request from Stephen Wells on the old Test Road building. Mr. Sewell is here. Sure.
As the executive director of the Columbia City Whitley County Planning and Building Department, I am here this evening representing the Columbia City Plan Commission to forward a recommendation that the Planning Commission has made on a rezoning request. The petition filed by Stephen Wells to change the zoning district designation from GB General Business currently to I-1 Light Industrial District. The property contains approximately 2.15 acres, located east of Main, south of Ellsworth, west of Whitley, Section 11 of Columbia Township, the former Testworth Laboratories property. Planning Commission held a public hearing after proper notification was given to adjoining property owners, notice in the newspaper. That meeting was held on July 7th. At that time, testimony was received by both the petitioner and interested citizens, adjacent property owners, and the public. Based upon the information that was submitted and the discussion by the Planning Commission, at the end of the public hearing, Planning Commission voted 8 against with none in favor. One member was absent at that meeting for the rezoning. And so they do send an unfavorable recommendation to the City Council on this rezoning request.
Okay, we're going to give members of the public if they'd like to say some things about it, but before Mr. Sewell goes back to the audience, do you have any questions for him? Thank you, Mr. Sewell. Anybody from the public? Stephen, anybody want to speak on this matter? Stephen? Okay.
You know, I know and understand that Columbia City has a vision Columbia City and its growth. I think they've been misled into believing that we're going to put piles of trash and garbage and whatnot on the Testworth property, and this is not true. The place does look a mess at this point in time, but we just got done tear down a huge building, and it's a huge undertaking to get rid of all of this debris. We are in the process of putting up fences. Last year, we filed taxes on $916,000 in this community. We need to take that revenue out of this community. We wish to continue to do the same thing. At this point, we spent approximately $250,000 tearing down this building. And at this point, the community is ready to cut us off at the knee. I think that's unfair and it's unjust. If the city wants to put on some guidelines or something for us to operate, we don't oppose that. But we would like to at least have the opportunity to try to show this community that we can be a viable business, that we can make revenue for this community. And we've done it in the past. Like I said, last year we filed $916,000. We keep our money in this community. We're all for making this community grow. We brought something to this community that it did not have prior to that. Columbia City did not have a salvage yard. They didn't have a place for the common person to take their aluminum cans. You had to drive all the way to Fort Wayne, or you had to drive all the way to Warsaw. Now, granted, we might not have handled ourselves real well at the first spot that we had. We had some problems there. We had the railroad to contend with, and we had Mr. Ritchie and his issues to contend with. We now own this property. All we're asking you for is an opportunity. Like I said, if you want to put guidelines on it, put guidelines on it, but at least give us an opportunity. This shouldn't be a witch hunt. This shouldn't be whether or not I owe or don't owe you money. Okay? This shouldn't be whether or not I'm making some noise in your backyard. It's going to make noise. I'm tearing down a building. I'm trying to clean it up. I'm tearing tunnels out of the ground that are 8 to 10 foot deep. I'm tearing footings and concrete out of the ground. It's going to make noise. And it's probably going to make noise for another 6 or 8 months. There's nothing that I can do to speed that process. I've just about tapped out all my money. So once again, I implore you to please overturn this decision, take it back, and let's start all over. If they want to put guidelines on it, we'll adhere to that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else from the public like to speak?
Hello.
Can you state your name, please?
I'm Elizabeth Whiteman.
Thank you.
I kind of hope that the city doesn't change its mind on the zoning. There's a lot of problems out there. Mr. Wells and I had a little dispute a while back before our other meeting, and he promised me he would not tear down the tree line. He did. That was just retaliation on his part. There is a lot of junk on the property. He is recycling stuff over there, and I don't want to listen to the banging. I don't want to smell his machinery all the time, and that's what we do. I would like for him to clean it up or else get a fence put up so no kids can go in there. I have chased kids out of there, back part and the front part. I don't know what else to tell you, except it's a mess.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else from the public like to speak?
Go ahead, Brad.
My name is Brett Kessler. I'm the property of 415 South Main Street. And I've watched this go down from the time that he got kicked out of the first place, because John was moving into this place. And abiding by the rules, I think the public was told, I'm open for business, come on in, I don't care what the city says. So this is the kind of man we are dealing with. Give me new rules, give me new laws, give me restrictions, I'll follow them. I don't believe we will. So this is our time to stop it now, right down the road.
Thank you. Anybody else from the public like to speak?
Can she speak from her chair?
No. Okay. Hearing no one else, do you want to go to the ordinance then? Okay. Can I have a motion to read ordinance number 2014-16 by title only?
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Ben. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Please read ordinance number 2014-16 by title only.
Ordinance 2014-16, an ordinance amending the zoning classification of certain property from the GB General Business District to the I-1 Light Industrial District.
This is time for your discussion on the request to change the zoning classification that Mr. Wells had brought to the Planning Commission that now is brought to you for your decision.
Yes, just a comment. With all due respect, Mr. Wells, you know, you've removed one of the biggest eyesores that we have had in our town. And I give you a lot of credit for that. But when I'm looking over, you know, the general lay of the area there and, you know, what's currently going on, and it's going closest, it's really pretty relatively close to our downtown area. I'm having a little problem having a I-1 zoning area close to the downtown area. I think if it stays general business, I'm not exactly sure what possibly can go in there, but at the same time, anything I-1 that close to downtown, I'm just having a little problem with rezoning it. So that's my feeling at this point, and it's the same thing that I felt like when I was with the Planning Commission at that point.
Other comments, questions, concerns?
I guess to feed off what Dan's saying, you know, throughout town we've got areas that we've got these little pockets that are zoned differently than everything around it. And it's created a lot of issues in a lot of areas. And we've tried to clean that up with our current zoning and the zoning path we've taken. So I think changing this one would put it right in the middle of a residential commercial district. You know, there's not enough acreage there that it's going to be ever going to be a large industrial area.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. Hearing no further discussion, would someone like to make a motion on the, let me get there, on ordinance number 2014-16?
I would make a motion that we take the recommendation from the Columbia City Plan Commission as a, denied the process for the I-1, the general business to I-1, so we will follow the Planning Commission's recommendation.
Okay, so your motion is to deny
Correct. The
ordinance number 2014-16.
Correct.
Okay. There's a motion on the table.
Second.
A motion by Dan, seconded by Ben. Any further discussion or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Ordinance 2014-16 has been denied. Thanks for being here, everybody. Next up is ordinance number 2014-13. Let me wait for it to get loaded up here. Can I have a motion to read that by title only?
So moved.
Second. Okay. Motion by Ben, seconded by Dan. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read ordinance, 2014-13 by title only. Thanks. Sorry.
Ordinance 2014-13, an ordinance vacating an alley in the city of Columbia City, Indiana.
As you'll remember, this is the ordinance regarding the platted alley to the north of the actual alley that is known as Legion Drive. So Marsha wasn't here the last time, but this is something that she's been working on pretty heavily. And basically, if you think about Legion Drive, it comes from Van Buren Street, goes north, and then turns east, basically, and goes along the north side of the Legion's property. The alley kind of goes like this. The platted alley is kind of to the north of it. So the, if I understand correctly, we passed this ordinance last time, but this is a second reading. that basically we're going to vacate that alley and give the adjoining property owners to the north those pieces of property. Is that correct?
Well, the Legion is, I guess, for a lack of a better term, relinquishing their rights to the 50% interest, because that would then give them a gap in the property again to the property owners to the north. Is how that works. So that's why normally it would be a 50-50 split.
Mm-hmm. Is there any questions or concerns about that? Is this for this one? Okay. So if there's no other questions, comments, or concerns, Marcia has made a request that
there's a reason for that.
Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead. I was just going to say you made a request to go to three readings.
To go to three readings.
Yeah,
the property owners to the north need to be notified just in case they have objection to receiving this portion. And I did not realize, but they have not been notified yet. So I'm going to make sure I take care of that and get that done for the next one. That's the only thing. I've just got to get that done. So if you don't mind.
Okay. So can I have a motion to approve and move to third reading? Motion by Jackie.
Second.
Second by Nicole. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous with Ben abstaining, I'm guessing, right?
Right.
Okay.
It butts up next to my phone.
That's true, indeed. Okay. Those of you that are here for the zoning thing, feel free to leave it whenever you want. It's okay. We don't take that hard or anything like that. So.
She has a question.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
What is he allowed to do now?
Only things that are within general business regulations. Metal recycling is not allowed in general business. Welding, I believe welding is, though, allowed in general business.
Is he allowed to buy scrap off other people's trucks and everything now? We think you're saying no, he's not, but he is.
Okay. Well, what we'll do is we'll have the attorney take a look at our zoning regulations and go from there. Offhand, I can't tell you exactly where that fits in. That sounds like that may be kind of right on a borderline of whether or not it's actually metal recycling or not. So we'll have our city attorney take a look at it, and if that's happening, we'll send our I guess it would be our ordinance officer out for that, or would that be a building and zoning?
Yeah.
Or building and planning department.
Yeah. And I can't remember the list in general business.
I can work with Marsha on that.
Okay. Yeah. That'd be great. Yeah. So we'll get it one way or another. We'll make sure that only legal activities are taking place on that property.
Thank you.
Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you all for being here. We appreciate it. Okay. So next up on the agenda, we had talked about having a sewer rate increase discussion. You'll remember last time I had informed those of you that were here last time that the Utility Rate Advisory Board had made an opinion. They met twice. They met twice, two Mondays in a row, July 7th and I think the 14th. But long story short is, after reviewing the different rate scenarios in the UMBOS study, their suggestion was scenario number 3, which was the 765 plan. I merely tell you that as one of the requests from the public when we had our water rating, when we had our opting out of the IURC, they had requested us kind of reform this public utility rate advisory board. So we did that after a little while, and we had amended the ordinance that had it was by political party, I think, and now we had amended it so that it was 4 in-city utility users and 1 outside the city utility user to have kind of some representation, and those members were appointed. 4 out of the 5 were at the meeting, and they voted unanimously. Those that were there voted unanimously for that 765 plan. So what I really want to do is have a discussion about this. If we're going to take action, I think we really need to consider taking action very soon. I hate to keep pushing this off as the during the water rate increase, what we had distinctly heard from the public was they wanted things phased in. That's what we looked at. That was three of the four different scenarios, not necessarily the one you have to go with, but I did have Umbaugh take a look at some different scenarios there. Okay, yes, sorry, thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, so we looked at four different scenarios in the Umbaugh study. The first one was a 4-4-4 plan. Not trying to sound like Herman Cain for those of you political geeks, but the 4-4-4 plan is basically on the average user of 4,000 gallons, their increase would be $4 per month. So it would be $4 a month this year, and then four additional dollars the following year, four additional dollars the next year, for a total of $12.
That's based on the average household use.
That's correct. That's based on 4,000 gallons. The next scenario was the 5-4-3, same type of situation, $5 for the average household every month this year, $4 the following year, $3 the following year. After they looked at the revenue requirements and looked at some of the forecasting, they gave us two additional scenarios, and that was 7-6-5, again, $7 for the average household, $6, $5. And then the last one, which is $13 flat, just a one-time increase of $13 for the average household. Our average rate right now is, I think, $50 for the average household, if I remember correctly. And as you will remember in the study, there is a projection through our long-term control plan that we will need to be at $75 for the average household to be able to pay for the long-term control plan. As you also know, we are redoing the long-term control plan now. We know that we're still going to have to do our project in design in 2017 and construction in 2019. And I think one of the goals of this council was to pay for the actual engineering of the project. I'm not trying to bore you, I'm just trying to bring us back to where we were. And so that was one of the goals discussed, and that's one of the things that Umbaugh took back and tried to put into their rate study. Long-term control plan, like I said, is being redone. We're hoping to incorporate some stormwater separation as well as some green features. And as a part of that, the hope is that the long-term ongoing cost won't be as significant as running five mini treatment CSO treatment facilities. So we're doing that. We're also, as you well know, for stormwater purposes, we've done a rain barrel rebate program. We're getting ready to start a new program called Downspout Disconnection Program, which will take additional stormwater out of the system. So we're working on a lot of those kind of things. So that's where we're at. So let's chat. Let's talk about it.
I'm really looking forward to the new long-term control plan. I just gotta believe that the work that we've done here in the past is going to make a significant difference in what we're looking at having to do here in the near future. This just, anytime you talk about rate increases, especially when it's in the situation, you know, coming from the state, it just makes me sick, because it just puts an undue burden on our public and us as well. I mean, we're paying it as well. So, you know, it's one of those things we have to look at. And, you know, before when I looked through this study, my first thought before the recommendation was that particular plan for my, I did not want to go to the last one. That one scared the heck out of me. But looking at our financial situation, I felt like the one that's being recommended is the one that we probably should look at going with. Now, how soon we make that happen is, you know, we could maybe start at the first of the year, or if we started in a couple months. I don't know. That's, talk about that too, I guess. But that's just my thought on it.
I'd like to say I sat in on this last meeting with the mayor, asked me if I'd attend with him, and I was really impressed with the members that he has on that committee, and how they have totally reviewed that, all this information, and this is what they came up with. I mean, they were all in agreement, that's what they felt. But I just think they were, they're really a good committee.
Thank you.
You did a good choice.
Well, thank you, I appreciate the council approving those individuals. Just for the record, that you all approved those individuals, so I can't take total credit for it, so. But if you'll look at, I think, oh, you guys don't have this, I apologize. If you'll remember back in the EMBOL study, one of the first pages of the PowerPoint that was shown showed a variance, basically current variance, if I remember correctly, of about $347,000, in the negative. As you probably have heard, in the last 2 weeks, we found two very large sewer main breaks, sewer mains that were crumbling. They were old clay pipe, had to do some emergency repairs on Van Buren Street. The first one we did, I think, 2 weeks ago. Thank goodness Ironclad was in town, because they got to it very quickly. Niblock got on the paving real quickly. If you've not found out yet, I was hoping Kelly would be here, but we found another section of that area from, stick with me here, from the alley east of Washington to Whitley Street. So basically the next section to the east, that is up in about the same shape. And so long story short is we're going to start, did you guys get press release this morning?
I'm not sure
those folks are seeing. Okay. But anyways, long story short is they're going to close off the street tomorrow morning, work on it all of Wednesday, hopefully pave it on Thursday and open it up Friday morning prior to the NDOT starting the mill and fill paving stuff on US 30, starting on Friday and probably lasting for 2 weeks. Now, I say all that to say, that was something that was not counted on. That ended up being, somewhere around $80,000 or $90,000, I think, in total.
Probably the first one was between $43,000
and $60,000. Yeah. So, total, that's a number we weren't counting on to be a part of this, of our balance sheet. It wasn't anything we were looking for. Well, I guess it was something we were looking for because our camera equipment found it, but... the good news is that it's projected next year 205 is going to get repaved, and so since we fixed it now, it's a good thing we found it now versus finding it after they repave it. But it also cost us a pretty significant chunk, and it was important enough to get it done at that point in time. Yes, Michael.
I do want to say that, you know, Kelly's not here. I don't want to speak for him, but I know we did save the mobilization fees since they were already in town.
Yeah.
Because they would add that on, if some company would add them a wide to bring all the equipment in, they were already here. So we did save that amount. It's still a large amount, but we saved mobilization and demobilization fees.
Mm-hmm. So just as a side note to this, but as you consider where we're at as a utility, that's an FYI.
Does that put us $400,000 in the hole?
Well, if you base it on their projection, I would say that's probably true. One of the things that actually, I hope you don't mind I bring this up, that Dan had asked was about, you know, whether or not this kind of classifies as a rainy day. I said it probably does classify as a rainy day, but my thought is that with the next phase of a long-term control plan, you guys are probably going to put in a significant sum of the rainy day fund into that anyway, so... kind of, you pay it now or you pay it later, but so let's have a discussion.
I'm concerned that the $4 phased in increases aren't going to make up in a timely fashion the $400,000 that we're in the hole, and then have the monies available to do the projects that we have to do. You know, that's my biggest concern as far as which one of the things is chosen is, you know, is the money going to be there if we phase it in like that?
Mm-hmm. You're saying just for the four, or are you saying for all of the phase-ins?
Well, the recommendation was for the 444.
No, no.
Right? I'm
it was
sorry.
For the 765.
765. I'm sorry. My mistake.
That's okay.
And same question, but
okay. And based on the 765, based on UMBAW's projection, again, not with the extra $100,000, but based on that projection, by 2017, which is like a, you know, when we're projected to do the engineering for this project for the next phase of the long-term control plan, and we expect that dollar amount probably for the engineering to be somewhere around $900,000. UMBAW is projecting, I guess that would be a surplus of $989,000. So that'd get us, theoretically, that'd get us to where it's at. Of course, barring large breakdowns and things like that, obviously we budget for some of those, but not for large ones, so not for as many of them.
But if I understand, there's no way to set aside, we're saying that money is for that. So, I mean, it could get spent in the next 3 years, and then we get there and we did the rate increase to pay for this, and mm-hmm. you get there and the money's not there.
Well,
like that's what...
Yeah, well, and the rate increase is both to cover our shortfall as well as to get enough money to start compensating for the long-term control plan. So to answer your question, I don't believe, and I'm going to defer to Rosie, but I don't believe there's a way we can specifically say these revenues are specifically for this project. I will tell you, as I've said before, is that I'm committed to paying for the engineering with cash, and we're going to do everything we can to try to keep those dollars set aside for that type of project. But
I would say first we have to get the sewage plant out of the hole,
mm-hmm.
and then in their depreciation account, I mean, we can earmark specific things, like there's earmarked for, like, if they're for budget purposes for a truck or whatever. Vehicles, office equipment, whatever. But those are mainly their major projects. So as we transfer money, and once that gets out of the hole, the sewage fund, we transfer money down there, we can't earmark that money specifically for that.
Earmark that in the
out of the
hole first. Earmark that in the budget or in an actual account for that?
In the budget account for that.
Okay.
If we have, as we get enough money ahead of time ahead.
So what I hear you saying, Rosie, is that if we were to go, let's say, 2 years down the road from now, let's say we pass it, move forward, we start collecting, and 2 years down the road, we can, I, you know, Ben or Dan or I can, or whoever can look at you and say, hey, how much money do we have earmarked now for the long-term control plan project? And you could say we have ABC amount left or earmarked. Okay.
Who makes that determination of what's earmarked?
Well, whatever money, extra money that he can afford to switch down to that depreciation fund. Like right now, the electric, the water, and the wastewater has a construction fund that we put transfer money into every month. Right now we can't with Mike because he doesn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
But as it builds up, it's like the mayor's making them prepare a budget now to say, here's what I want to spend on certain things. Well, if the money isn't there, they can't spend it. So they're going to earmark how much, whatever money we can afford to put down there and still have their operating money. I mean, we can't just say, okay, I'm going to put $100,000 in there because we don't know that.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is, you know, we as a council are saying we're going to do this to fund that. But there's no way we can ensure that it will be there. Because if we have another couple $100,000 sewer breaks.
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, all I can say is between Mike and myself, I'll make sure we do as much as we can to get it in there.
But it's not going to go any other way. It's solely for sewer maintenance,
yeah.
Or planning for the.
Yeah, I mean it.
It's not going to go out and buy something for the water.
Right.
Or
and actually, on that point, and on what something Rosie had said is, I think what we're planning on doing for the first time, I think maybe ever, is that we're going to start including the utilities into the budgets that you guys take a look at and approve. Which I know you haven't done that in the past necessarily, but I think it makes a lot of sense. Other communities do that, and it's. Public record and all that kind of stuff. So,
on these forecasts that they gave us,
yeah,
the year 2014, there's a deficit, and was that figuring no increase this
that,
year?
That is correct, because the thought when they put this together was is that we probably wouldn't have an ordinance and everything put together until the end of the year, correct? If I remember correct. Do you have a page number? And are you in the
18?
Actual study or the PowerPoint?
I don't know. I just had it. I just went to my previous miscellaneous.
Page 18? Is that what you
page
said?
Page 18.
Okay. Yeah. So that's in the regular study, I think. Well, the top says schedule forecasted fund balances
yep.
with the 765.
Yep.
Okay.
Scenario number 3.
Yes. So what you're saying is in the improvement fund there where it's a negative 537?
Yeah. Yes.
And that's by the end
no
of this
increase.
Year. That is true.
Okay.
That is true.
We allow that question.
Because where you see the...
Sure. I won't get in trouble.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's on this page.
You're sure?
Yeah.
What is the actual year of the project, the projected project?
Projected project is 2019.
I think what you're looking at, Nicole, if I may... Are you looking at that 537?
It was,
083.
Sewage increase date 4/17/14.
I mean, when you're saying the balance, negative.
Oh.
The negative 537
yeah.
is what you're looking at, right?
Yeah. And that, I think it's saying that that's with a 765 increase, but by the end of the year, that's what the negative would be. And as the years
if
go
we
on,
raise it now.
Yeah.
Yes.
So if we don't raise it until next year, then all this stuff gets moved a year.
Yeah, and it's just going to keep going down. But this is with the anticipation that we do the 765. And then by December of next year, it's still going to be 408. And then by December of 16, it'll be 148 of it.
But
black.
My question is, are they figuring that 537... with no increase this year or with the $7 increase this
no,
year?
No, the $7 wouldn't take effect until 2015, so you're
okay.
seeing no increase in that first, in that 2014 number.
Okay.
Yeah.
Michael.
As a citizen and a taxpayer and a utility purchaser, I hate to see an increase like that. I would rather hit me up all at once, let me know what the punishment's going to be, and let me pay my bill. I mean, I just hate to see you know, $7 this year, $5 the next, $4. I don't like that. You know, if I get a rate increase, give me the rate increase, let me get used to paying the dang thing, and go on.
One of the things that was interesting, when we were out, you know, knocking on doors, and it was unbelievable. I understand where you're coming from. But it was unbelievable the amount of people that were commenting on going this way. We're hearing it from both sides.
How much increase are you when they were showing the flat, the one time shot? What were we talking rate increase?
$13.
So it's still going to be less than if you go 7, 5, 3. And I'm just, you know, I don't want to cause trouble here. I'm a new employee, and I'm not talking as an employer. I'm talking as a ratepayer.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, if you want,
I would rather pay the less amount right up front, total amount, than use 7, 5.
In the 765. In the projection for scenario number 4, which is the $13 one-time increase, it does not include it. The maximum surplus, if you will, which I hate to call it that because it's going to go out the door anyways, but the maximum surplus that they would suggest, that they would, you know, figure is $638,000. So we wouldn't be up to being able to pay for the engineering of the project that way. Now, certainly that could be something where, you know, if you guys want to do that route, you could do that and then do another increase in a couple of years to get up to that. I mean, if the goal is to get to that, to get that dollar amount so that you can pay for engineering with cash, because I think if I remember right, Ben, I think you had said, and I thought it was actually really wise advice, but do we really want to be paying for 30 years for a plan? Right?
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, ultimately, this is the decision that you guys are going to have to make is, you know, A, do you want an increase? Well, nobody wants an increase, but do you want to increase the rates, understanding what we have coming forward? And B, I think I said A. And B,
two,
what scenario do you want to do? Do you want to do 7.65? Do you want to do 13? Or do you want to do a different one?
And you said right now we're $50.
We're at $50.
And at the end of all this, in what year do you want to be $75?
Preferably 2017, but okay. We're probably not going to get there by that point.
Right.
But so
if we do the 13, mm-hmm. there's an implication that we're done, but we really aren't.
Probably. That's probably true. The other thing I would say is the previous administration, I think actually Nicole and Dan, the two of you were on that in that administration. I believe, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you guys had chosen to increase stormwater rates and subsidize the sewer department. In that, I know that we give somewhere around $250,000 from our stormwater department to our sewer department. And I thought I instead of raising the sewer rates above $50, I think the decision was made to do stormwater up to $9. Yeah. Yeah. So I guess what I'm saying is I don't think that the $50 actually represents the true cost, if you will,
mm-hmm.
Because of the subsidizing that's happening. Certainly, though, there's storm water that's going into our system that's causing more. So I get the reason and the rationale behind it. But
part of me says, you know, I know once this hits the paper, we'll be getting a lot of phone calls. but I'd like
that's
to
okay.
hear...
You're doing your job.
Yeah, I would like to hear a little bit more from the public
yep.
on which way we go with this, because I just after, you know, because there's a lot of people who are still hurting. The economy hasn't completely turned around yet. And some of them, you know, we got a lot of fixed income people living in our town, and to make those adjustments, it's a significant thing. So, you know, it's something I think we need to, you know, listen to a little bit more, you know, before we... I didn't think you wanted a decision tonight.
No, I'd like a direction tonight. I'm perfectly fine with having public discussions and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I think that's really important. We have to have a public hearing before we approve a rate increase anyways. But I think, if I remember right, that's after we've selected a plan, put it in the newspaper to publicize it and that kind of stuff. So there's a couple of ways we can do this. We can have kind of a public hearing. If you want to have a decision, then have another public hearing, or you can make a, I guess a, they probably could make a preliminary decision, then have a public hearing, then change the decision, could they not?
I think
you
might have to have another public hearing.
Well, that's why I'm wondering if we can get out of having two public
hearings
anyways.
I don't know.
Well, I think before you can pass the ordinance, you have to have a public hearing.
Right.
Right.
I guess what I'm saying is if, let's say they say 13 and have the public hearing as required by law, and then the public comes back and says, no, we want a phased in, then they say, okay, we're going to change it to 7.65. My assumption is they have to have another public hearing.
That's what I'm thinking.
Right.
Well.
So, however you guys want to do this or whatever you want to do, I really feel strongly we need to take some action now because it's not going to get any better.
Well, at first I was really leaning toward the $13 because I think the quicker we can get on our feet, so to speak, the better. But I don't want there to be that implication that we're done when we're not really done by doing just the $13. And I know people would have a hard time with that. I definitely don't want to do the 4.44.
It just
doesn't solve anything.
Yeah, it doesn't get us to where we need to be.
So the two I would like is either the 13 or the 7.65 as recommended by board.
I was going to say, I would, at this point in time, we put that board in for a reason. And you know, I think they did diligent work to come up with that conclusion as well. That would be my first recommendation without hearing, you know, what the public actually has to say about it. I know, like I say, we're going to hear it. And I know we heard it when we were knocking on doors.
Yeah.
I also understand where you're coming from, too, because, you know, yeah, it's a tough call. It really is. But I also understand, you know, where some of these people are coming from. I know where know, raises come and don't come, and then you got to dig up another. I know it's not a significant amount, but it is when you don't have it. It really is. So, you know, it's just, this is a tough call, and, you know, it's, I don't know, it's just, I just want to say I probably would agree with, at this point, not until I get a lot of feedback, which I know we will. I'd probably go with the recommendation from what the board brought to the table at this time. I mean, it's just...
In our industry, there were about 20 years when the industry would take large rate increases every 5-7 years. And they have found that over the time, the consumer is much more adept to taking a small increase every year than taking the large one at one time. So watching that from a consumer standpoint and the reaction of the consumers, I would be more apt to go with the 765 than the one-time shot.
Do you want a motion or a directive?
I'd like to have some kind of next step, whether it's you want us to publicize a public hearing about the issue, whether it's you want to move forward with a plan and then we do the process as outlined. I just want a next step. So.
Well, then we would go to a public hearing, and if we at this time, if we recommend the 765, and the public hearing, we have the ability to change that if it comes to, or is that set in stone?
No, you can change it, but then we'll have to have another public hearing about that change. So it's either you make a decision on a plan, have a public hearing, and then if you do change it, then you'll have to have another public hearing, or you have a public hearing, not an official one, but I guess an unofficial public hearing, to get some ideas. You make a decision, have another public hearing as required by law, and then go for it. So it's possible you could have two public hearings either way.
Well, if we publicize a public hearing for the 765, mm-hmm. we're kind of... we don't want to go to the 444.
Right. Well, and you certainly can eliminate certain choices and go down to these are the two that we're going to be, I mean, and I'll defer to Rosie, but we can even do a public hearing that says these are the two choices right now that we're going to discuss. So come with your feedback. And
so we could do that?
Yeah.
Mayor.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Could I?
Yes.
I would call those a public comment.
Rather than a public hearing?
Because the hearing, you're really looking at an ordinance that's been published,
okay.
and you're having the public come in officially as a public hearing. So I think to separate the two concept in
okay.
your discussion with the council, mm-hmm. I'd probably call it either public comment
okay.
time or a public
sure.
hearing. I mean, just so
or a public meeting for that
or
matter.
Or public
yeah.
meeting, just so there's no confusion with what's being discussed.
Well, I would like to do that. I would like to do the public meeting and tell them these are the two options we're discussing.
Okay.
And see who shows up, and if people show up, wonderful. If people don't show up, then we'll just decide.
Okay. As a follow-up to that, would you like to do that in conjunction with a city council meeting? Would you like to do it on a separate night? What would you like? How would you like to have that structured? And is there a certain night, time, day?
From my perspective, the same night that we have a council meeting would be
I think
okay.
so too.
And just don't put it on as an agenda item. I mean, make
right.
sure it's publicized.
Then it's a separate meeting.
Right.
And maybe we just bump back our council meeting to let's say 7:45 or something like that, and leave from 7 to 7:45 as the public meeting, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
I agree that we need to have an increase. I think that's somewhat obvious. But I still have a real concern with raising revenue without reducing cost. And as I look, for lack of a better term, at the budget or expense sheet here, for this utility and quite frankly, all of them. There's money in categories being spent that may not be being spent out of the right area. And I guess the gaping example of that is the communications department. It appears that the utilities, all of them, are paying huge amounts of money, respectively, for the budget, in communication wages. And that department, although provides a essential function for the utilities, not one that's
You don't believe there's fair equity, is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. I mean, looking at 2013, just as an example, there were 19,271 police CADs and 370 utilities total created by the utilities department. My understanding is that they create a CAD every time they have a utilities call. Now, I get that there's times that they're very busy, power outages, that they're overwhelmingly busy. But fortunately, we have very effective utilities, and those are somewhat infrequent. But I think that as we're talking about a rate increase, we should be looking at ways to reduce the cost and defer those costs in other areas.
You want to respond to that?
We are. I agree with what you're saying, but I mean, they also do monitor all the utilities, even though there is no calls. I think all the alarms are in the dispatch. But I also want to say we are working. We've been working every year to try and get that cost come down. Last year, we lowered it, and we're lowering it again this year. Moving more to the tax base is just something we can't do overnight. And last year, I forget what the total was that we cut out of the communications for the utilities and moved it over into the tax base. Again, that's what we're doing again this year. I know you haven't seen any of the budget figures yet, but we are slowly trying to get some of that out of there.
And that's one thing the State Board of Accounts has been keeping an eye on as well, so it's not just governed by our own local government. State Board of Accounts looks over that, because I've been fortunate enough to sit in on the reviews. And years ago, the State Board of Accounts questioned that quite a bit. And now with the new mayor coming through, those things are starting to subsidize back to where the tax-based people are paying for what they're supposed to be paying. That is happening. It's just, I understand what Rosie's saying too. It's just, you got to work your way into it. It's something you just can't drop a bunch out of one place and out of another and not, without replacing, figuring out how to replace it.
And I understand that. But we're looking at raising rates for this utility. We've raised rates for one utility already in the recent past. Slowly switching it over when we have a utility that, and this one is an example, is almost $400,000 in the hole. I don't think slowly switching it over is working for us.
Well, the final comment to that is you pick something out of general fund you want to get rid of, a police officer, a firefighter, part of the park department, so that we can switch all that over back to the tax base.
And that's maybe a discussion we should be having during the budget. But this is we're talking about a utility rate increase.
And I understand that.
And the utility's almost $400,000 in the hole. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me.
And one of the other things that has been discussed years and years is, okay, let's do away with dispatch. Send over to the county. Okay, you're still going to have to pay for a full time dispatch here.
That's
for utilities.
No. But don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have a dispatch. I'm not saying that the dispatch budget should be cut. I'm not saying that dispatch wages are too high. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that the money that's allocated for it appears to be coming from the wrong place. And as you look at each one of these utilities, they're all paying a significant part of that. And I understand that maybe it's a difficult process to switch that over. But apparently we've gotten there. And it's not working for us.
But I think ultimately, I apologize for interrupting, but I think ultimately the question the question becomes, what is the equitable share of each of the utilities for 24-hour monitoring? And something that Rosie and I have talked about is, should stormwater really be paying a lot of money, because there's not really much you can monitor in stormwater, but there's lift stations and other things like that that the dispatch has to monitor utility-wise. Electrically speaking, obviously there's some things they monitor there, as well as obviously water. So there's a couple of things in regards to that, but I think ultimately the question that I think you're trying to get to, if I'm hearing you right, and I think actually a question that Rosie would agree on is, what is an equitable share of those utilities to pay for 24-hour monitoring, if you will? Is that a fair summarization of kind of what you're
sure,
talking about?
Sure, and I think that there's a legitimate discussion to be had.
And I really do welcome that discussion.
But I think that, you know, really, this is a question that is specifically for this utility, since this is the one we're looking at raising the rates, this is something that should be looked at. And not, you know, it's difficult for me to say, well, we're going to increase revenue when we're sitting here looking at expenses that may not be appropriate, is what I'm saying. I mean, it's a question I think that should be answered before we raise rates.
Well, then if you look at that, I know she's working very hard at trying to get this switched around, but if you take from one, then you're going to have to raise the tax rate to take care of that loss. So either way you go, there's going to be some type of an increase in some way. And I'm not saying that we're all for a tax rate increase, but that's inevitable if you start,
But what we're discussing right is now, a utility that's broke and paying money that...
You're still paying for it.
Well, sure, but in this particular case, it matters where you're paying it from.
Right.
Because this utility's broke.
The problem with the tax is we can't increase taxes. We're stuck. And that's the problem.
But
we cannot increase it.
And I understand, and I'm not, but my problem is that we shouldn't, at least from my perspective, we shouldn't use the utility departments to subsidize tax-based items.
And I understand that.
I mean, we shouldn't do that, and then turn around and raise utility rates, because you're raising rates or raising taxes, you're still taking money from the public.
And I think that's what the mayor understands that, and the mayor has worked with me diligently since he's been in, to try and get this, some of this utility stuff switched back to the tax base. The best we can do. That's all I can tell you is we're trying.
The intent was to get the conversation started. I said the intent was to get the conversation started.
Oh, you got it.
Well, I think it's not only that line item. I think it's all line items. You know, and I know we talked about it before, but you know, are there places that, you know, we can trim? I mean, I think if we're asking the public to sacrifice by paying higher rates, we as a utility should sacrifice where we can sacrifice. I mean, I think it's got to be a joint effort.
Right.
You know, we didn't decide that we've got to do this long-term control plan, nor did the utility customers. Mm-hmm.
That's true. Okay.
So I think the cost side of it has to be a discussion that's had as well as the rates.
There is going to kick my ass.
And when half of your revenues are going to serve as debt, you know, there's only so much you can address.
It's a very small pie. You can really.
Yes.
You're absolutely right. I mean, when you look at our.
And if you look at what we're going to have to borrow to do the next phase, it's going to be over 60%.
Yep.
And that's factoring without any usage loss.
Right. And I guess that's the other part of the equation is, you know, certainly anytime you have a water rate increase, you have a decrease in usage of water, so you have a decrease in, you know, sewer revenue. And vice versa, every time you have a sewer rate increase, you have a reduction in water usage because they're trying to cut back. And so it kind of, as much as they're two utilities, they are kind of tied together. And so obviously the hope is that, you know, with a couple of the subdivisions that are going in, or the additions to current subdivisions that are going in, the hope is that at least some of those houses will help us to offset the loss in that regard. But certainly, I mean, we need a pretty large housing development to offset the losses that we currently have. So.
And Mike Shogun can speak probably better to this, but I don't think the water rate, the usage decreased a whole lot, at least from the numbers I followed.
From the water rate increase?
Right. I mean, they've stayed.
Well, and he may not even know because
he's
still going to use the newbie card, I think, so.
Well, Mike Cook had told me, you know, when that rate increase was passed, you'd need about 1 million gallons per day to break even. And you've consistently been over that since we passed that. So I don't think, I mean, the usage fluctuates up and down, but.
I didn't say that.
Mike here.
Mike Deere. Oh, Mike Deere, I'm sorry.
I'll say it wasn't me.
Sorry, Mike Deere.
There's one of the mics.
Too many mics. Mike Deere.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're averaging 2 million gallons a day now as what we pump.
Yeah, so, I mean, it didn't decrease significantly when that rate increase was passed. But I think when the prior sewer rate increase was passed, it did decrease.
Right.
And that's kind of what put the water department a little bit in the hole.
So that's a concern that I've had from the beginning of this discussion, is what it's going to end up doing to the water department. Just because, I mean, and you know, it's not that I haven't been sounding the alarm since day one when I came into office and started talking about this, but it's still very painful, and it's still something that none of us want to do. But I do think we need to do something, take some step.
And I guess I'd recommend that we go with that public meeting. Here's our two options, the 3 and 4, and lay that on the table and see what we get for public comment in that public meeting, and then we can move on to the hearing meeting after that.
If that is the direction you all want to go, I want to make sure that every one of you are here, because I think it's important that the full council is here for that. So is that the general consensus of the council, to have a public meeting to discuss those two options? Yes, 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 yes. Okay. So I don't know how you want to advertise that or whatever. Certainly we can put stuff on Facebook and in the paper, obviously. But
That was going to be my question. Do I have to do a legal? I don't have to do it legal unless it's legally a public hearing.
But it's not a public hearing, but you do,
but
because they're all going to be here, you still have to make sure it's clear that it's open.
Yeah, it's a public meeting,
just like
a regular meeting.
Right. But we may want to even, if I'm hearing them correctly, we may even want to do some kind of an ad or something in there that's a little more pronounced than just the council is meeting at 7 p.m. on.
And you might see if the utility advisory board is willing to attend as well, as they've seen the information as
well. That's a great point. I can see if we can do that.
We'll try out and have more chairs.
We'll see.
If somebody would want to help grab that,
Marsha, I can help you.
Okay. I can grab something and let you know.
Yeah, sure.
So would you like it on the next, like, say, 6 o'clock on the next meeting, or
I'd rather do either 6:30 or 7 o'clock, just because of I don't know what Board of Works is going to look like. And
okay,
does that make sense?
Have council start after that.
After that, yeah. Can we? Well, I guess if they're all here anyways, it won't. I guess maybe a question for legal is, can we just say that the general council meeting will be following the public meeting regarding sewer rate increases? Or do we have to set a specific time for that meeting?
Can I just put that as the first item?
Yeah, just have it be the first item of the meeting.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm just saying, though, I think what I had heard from Ben was is that he didn't really want it to be a specific item on the agenda, but instead be a separate meeting. Is that what I heard you say?
Well, I mean, it could be an item on the meeting. I just didn't want it just being on the agenda and people don't look at the council agenda a lot of times. So
you want to advertise separately. Okay, I see. Now I'm with you. Okay.
And I don't know when you're sending out the next set of bills, or if you've already sent them out. I mean, you could put a note on the bill.
I was just typing that up today, the notices. So what I want to put on the bill the next time. So I can put that on the bill.
I mean, that every utility customer would get that.
Right.
Then there's nobody that says, well, I don't get the paper, I'm not on Facebook.
Yeah. And I could even, if you wanted me to, and I don't know how this would work, Rosie, but I could even probably just type up a quick letter explaining where we've been, what we're doing, if that would help, just to kind of say, as a separate insert of, this is what we're going to be discussing at this meeting, if you have comments or concerns.
What would be addressing those?
Yeah. Do it over the speaker system.
Yeah, because now we can add a letter if stuffers in.
Yeah, because that is, I mean, that is something everybody that pays the bill is going to get.
Yeah. Just like our newsletter.
Right.
Yeah. That's fine. If we can do that, then we'll... Okay.
They can't say they didn't know.
That's true. Well, I appreciate, and one thing I love about this council is that you really do care about what the public thinks and the fact that you're really kind of doing your due diligence, and so I do appreciate that. I will make a note to try to get the utility rate advisory board here for that meeting.
Are we doing 6:30?
No, I think we're gonna continue with our
do it at
7 o'clock. Yeah, and just to council after that. Hopefully the agenda will be light for council, but we'll see.
We're going to have a couple ordinances.
And that'll be on the 12th.
That's the next meeting,
13.
Correct?
Is it the 12th?
That's in August, whatever.
Yes, you're right.
Bring your Snuggies. We may be here for a while. So. Okay, anything else on that? I can already feel the pain on that. Okay. Okay, so next up we'll move to department reports. Tom.
Yeah. Well, Old Settlers and 4-H are done, and those are two big projects for the summer for us. 4-H especially, there's just taxes a lot of resources for us. Ben, I think you were down there, what, a couple nights, two, 3 nights? We've got a lot of volunteers to go down and provide coverage for that, along with a lot of our equipment, which brings up a lot of questions for the future of the 4-H, make sure that we're in line with what is requested from us. So that's something I'll have to address. I mentioned at the last meeting that we've been in the progress of a lot of repairs on a lot of our equipment. And I'd really like to kind of throw a thanks to Chris. He saved the $1,200 bucks, or saved the city $1,200 by telling me to hold on, let him check into it. Because we were told that our motor was bad on a piece of our equipment, he started making some phone calls. One of the motor manufacturers for our toss system said that he doubted very much that our motor was bad. Chris started checking into it further and found a $10 fix that fixed that.
Cool.
Toss system instead of $1,200. So that was a huge savings. I got a phone call this evening from Columbia Township. Our grass bridge will be in service for not only the city but Columbia Township for a period of time until they get theirs repaired. And let you know that is, we are primary Columbia Township as a whole as well. And then we did not purchase a new truck for the fire department. The command vehicle, or 110 we call it, was restriped. The previous rating was coming off of that truck for a lot of different reasons. But Corey here, one of our in-house volunteers, restriped that for us for a couple of costs. It was priced a couple $100. So. Was restriped. There's some people that love the new color, some people that hate the new color. I can tell by Ben's smile that I'm not thinking he liked it a lot. So.
That's all right.
But that being said, it is the same truck, just a different stripe.
Questions of Tom? Thank you, Tom. Michael?
Pass on some more. You can talk about long term control plan tonight. I've passed some more information on to them. We had to do some hard readings on stations during dry weather and sent that information off today, and we have to do some wet weather readings too in hopes that later on through this project we will not have to do any flow meters. Putting flow meters in terms of data, they can use this data instead. It's our hope. So it'll be a money saver on that. A couple painting projects we've been working on. All the bollards around the facility being painted, the digester's been painted, and then I've got some airlines, some other things that we need to do. All still nice out. We did get number one mixer and storage tank back online. After our breaker explosion that we had, I had an electrician come in to go completely through the panel and go through the other one and check everything out. Discovered that main breaker was our problem, so at the cost of $2,700, main breaker was installed yesterday, and we fired that one mixer that is currently in good condition back up and running. We still have the one out. I still need to contact the representatives on that. They want to pull it out. They want to do an inspection on it. but I need to find out exactly how soon they want to do that, because now that I have one Remark running, I don't really want to take that tank down if I don't have to. They wait till fall to do that, to retrieve that, and then they're also supposed to figure out, hopefully they can figure out a way that we can, if this dig keeps happening, we've got to figure out a way how we can retrieve this without taking the whole tank down. I mean, that's just not feasible, but that's what we have to do to be able to retrieve this. After 22 years, our water softener died. Was unrepairable. It's from a leak. The guys came in the morning spraying water all over the back room. They isolated the water, got it shut down. I had Pelican come in. They looked at it because it was their system. And they repaired what broke. And when they plugged it back in the next day, it would just hum. That was it. It wouldn't do anything else. So the unit itself was 22 or 23 years old. So we went ahead and replaced that and have a new salt water system in our building now, which we use. It's hooked up all the way through the buildings, and it's really important in our laboratory because our glassware needs to be maintained and cleaned. And we can't have the water spots on. They could actually write us up if we have dirty glassware in our lab. So with hard water, dishwasher doesn't work very well, but now that we have the softener hooked back up, it should be fine. I'm finished.
Questions of Mike? Thank you, Mike. Sean?
All right. We just very busy with general maintenance and tree trimming things this week. We also, last week at the Catholic Church, new building hooked up with their new three-phase service. They're back. We had to change it to one of the street lights. Yesterday we did hit a gas line in front of the Catholic Church, but it was... by all accounts, a failure on Lipsco's part to mark the line. They didn't mark the line. We did it. It's now fixed. We did get the approval from Board of Works to go into contract with a fiber installer, and the mayor said the company that's installing our fiber.
It is. I don't know. Guten something. It's a German name.
And so we will be beginning that August 18th, the week of August 18th, I believe. That should take about 2 to 3 weeks, and we'll be installed to the building. Complete install date or complete installation should be done in 2 weeks. We did have an outage last night out on 700 North. That tree from across the line. The guys have back up in just over an hour, I believe. I did get 2 phone calls from people who were very grateful that me and out there as quickly as we did, so that's good to hear. We did begin installation of DOT America building. They're installing a new 740 three-phase bank there with a large service.
Questions of Sean? Thank you, Sean. Tim?
Our recent firearms training went well, had some positive feedback. We trained with some different drills than we've done in the past, so I thought we were going to do some new and different training. Both the perk packets for the new officers have been sent to the state now, so we're just waiting to see what the timeline is. Once we figure out that they've been approved by the state, I'll work with Royce to accomplish start dates for both of the new officers. Once they get started, they'll go through a 40-hour pre-basic, and they'll start the F2 process, and we'll get them scheduled into the academy. We've got an upcoming meeting with trainers and the command staff to discuss a new online training program that we're going to start real soon. I think that'll be really good for us. We had an ordinance review committee meeting today. close, so that should be coming soon. But that was a really good meeting that we had today. July is a kind of rough month for us just because of multiple vacations, including myself, but I appreciate everyone's flexibility and willingness to kind of move around the different shifts and different rotations. We've had a lot of people move around just to cover different holes and vacancies and shifts, and I appreciate their willingness to do that. So that's it.
Question to Tim. Thank you, Tim. Michael.
Still working on Elm Street, and we've had several leaks in town to take care of. That's it.
Any rationale or reason behind it, or just old pipes, or what?
The ones we had has been really service lines.
Oh, okay.
Not mains, it's service lines.
Okay. Questions of Mike? Thank you, Mike. Mark.
We're having a training tomorrow morning about surface water with our staff, so we got to go through that. Kind of think every department's doing that. Then also the training, some of our guys are going to the OSHA training that's provided tomorrow. JFL sign-up, our football sign-up, ends this week, and equipment pickup is this weekend. So we've been doing that since June 16th. It's been going on for quite a while, but this is the last week. There's a sand volleyball tournament this weekend at the Bull Field. That's put on by Manure Real Estate. And I think that they're doing that as a fundraiser for another agency or group. I'm not sure who. That's this weekend. If you want to play volleyball, you can sign up for that. Pool's still running well, which is great. The attendance has been extremely low. Very low.
Is that because it's been 68 degrees?
Yeah, that's a lot. That hurt a lot. I want to thank everyone that helped out with the fireworks. We had a lot of help from firemen helping us out, and also the police and electric department, and several departments helping out with that. But it was a great event, and I really appreciate everyone helping us with that because we couldn't do it on our own for sure. We're almost done painting the outside of the pavilion trim. The gutters were put up today, and then really the last step is landscaping it. We'll be moving dirt in around there for the master gardeners to begin landscaping that here probably in the next couple weeks. That'll make it look a lot better. It does look good, but that'll be the final thing. We have a new pump to install down by the concession stand bathrooms. I don't know. It happened during the 4th of July where our pump fails in our bathrooms, and we have to shut the bathrooms down. We were able to find a pump that could handle huge load, and we're excited to get it in there and not have to deal with this, and I'm hoping that this works because it's not.
You really need to choose your words a little differently.
I don't even know what I said.
You said
a huge load. See, I didn't even think of that.
Well, there was exploding happening but beside you. I just might as well point it out.
So. This is coming from Mike. He thinks like that all the time.
Large capacity.
Sorry. Okay. I'm excited about the loads going away. Pizza Hut had a big event today on our softball fields. They have every year a large tournament for all of the Northeast Indiana Pizza Huts.
Really?
And so it was kind of neat to see them down there again. Splash Pad's been crazy busy with the hot weather recently. We still have weekend tournaments coming up, and the powwows in the second weekend of August, so we'll be getting ready for that. And we've also taken out some dead trees that were planted at the Bull, Dreamland, and Morsh's. Those trees were not very old, but they were just dead from the hard winter. And so at some point, I think that they want to replace those, they meaning the master gardeners. That's really it.
Questions of Mark?
Just a comment. Make sure you tell your ground screws out there that did ball diamonds. They were excellent. Every time, I'm down there as much as anybody else were down there every night, but those diamonds were taken care of very well. And for the first time ever, we had over 50 girls playing softball over in New Haven this last weekend in the tournament. And every one of the teams that played won at least one ball game or so, and that's never, ever happened before. So
good.
Having 50 girls playing softball in one tournament is an awesome thing. And Columbia City is very well represented there, so that's a really cool thing. So
It's been fun to hear about these all-star teams playing different weekend tournaments. On Monday morning, you want to find out how they did, you know. And it's neat to see them be successful, and that's changed a lot in the last few years. So it's a lot of credit to the baseball committee and the softball committees for what they've done.
That's a big deal.
That's great. Other questions of Mark?
Where are we on the pool?
Well, I'll give you the update on that. I just gave, I got two appraisals for the land out there that they're looking at purchasing. And so now the next step is to present that to the park board on Monday night. I also talked to Engineering Resources. That's the people that help design our bridge that's new. I was trying to figure out what we need to do to put a bridge next to it that could handle traffic. And that would kind of be our next way to maybe have an entrance and exit to the park on the back. So I tried calling him again today, and I'm hoping to hear from him tomorrow, letting me know what he found out. But that was a few weeks ago when I talked to him. And as far as information I have, I'm kind of putting together a brochure, I guess, for fundraising, for asking donations from different businesses here in town locally, and naming rights of different types of things. And I know I've got some help from some other businesses and what they've done, so kind of just starting that whole process.
Well, make sure you go to the drainage board for the bridge across the road.
I've already talked to the drainage board.
Okay.
I was actually with them. I was with them last week.
Okay.
As we walked the whole Blue River Trail through Morse's Park.
Okay.
And so I was bouncing that off of them while I was there, and they seemed very totally fine with it. So.
Good.
Let's make sure we draw that.
Oh, good one.
I am glad to see the baseball field being used. So,
thank you. It's been used a lot.
Yes, it has.
Yeah, I really enjoyed playing down here. We had a rainout makeup game down there, and it felt really good to be down there playing again. It was pretty cool.
It's the best lights we have, really. It's kind of neat to see night games down there.
Any other questions of Mark? Do you want to talk for 2 seconds, Mark, about why you were with the drainage board at walking the Blue River Trail?
Sure. The mayor has placed myself and
John
Goetz as the city team to be with the county team, which was Brandon Forrester, one of their drainage board members. I cannot remember his name. Older gentleman. I can't think of his name. But anyway, we walked with them from the trailhead all the way to the back of the park, basically looking for areas along the Blue River that could potentially be in jeopardy of falling in or washing away. And, you know, Brandon took notes of different trees that need pulled, and sounded as if they would kind of address those areas and try to help out so that we wouldn't have continually washing out areas.
And thanks for that. And for the record, the Board of Works has approved, I think the last 2 years, has approved to pay drainage fees for our residents out of the stormwater utility, which makes a lot of sense. But as a part of that, I don't know if they've collected on the Blue River in some time. So I think one of the things we discussed was for them to start collecting on the Blue River drainage assessments so that they can do some work on the Blue River, at least in the city limits. So, in any case, I appreciate you and John. John Goetz is our contract employee that helps with stormwater stuff. So that's why it made sense for the two of them with the trail as well as stormwater to do that. So thanks for your work on that. Okay. Marcia?
Nothing.
Rosie?
Finally got all the bills in for our citywide trash pickup. That I think I gave everybody a report.
I got one.
It was down about $10,000.
That was encouraging that it was cheaper.
Wow. So what fund does that come out of?
Trash
fee.
Trash.
No, luxury, but a waste.
No,
trash fee.
Trash
fee.
Well, I mean, I didn't know where that money went.
Yeah, it's the extra, I mean, everything that we collect for the garbage pickup, we have it built in there enough to pay for the annual trash pickup.
Right, I mean, whose financials that show up on?
Just the grand total one, because you won't see, it's just a solid waste fund all its own.
Okay.
And so it's not in with any of the utilities.
Okay. Well, I didn't know, I just...
Yeah.
Didn't know where it went.
And actually, I got all of the reports.
I think it's on my desk.
I'm doing it to you. Well, this is on your desk, but...
Yeah, I see. Okay, you're saying something else.
Martha said you wanted on June.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And I have that written.
Okay, very good. Yeah, we have a meeting tomorrow with Advanced Disposal to kind of talk about how it went, you know, things that can be improved or things like that. So, okay? Jackie? Okay, I figured. Jackie?
Nothing.
Just as an FYI, I was in a lot of meetings today. One of them was a legislative committee meeting for IACT down in Indy. They came up with a list of priorities from the different committees to the legislative committee for their approval. We selected three items for the legislative services of IACT to kind of move forward on and initiative-wise, and I'll get those to you in the future. I don't have those in front of me. I know one of them is increased road funding. We always need additional road paving from funding. So that's one thing. Also at a board of directors meeting at IACT, but as an FYI, I know I said earlier, but I want to just touch on it again. We are, NDOT has informed me and the city that starting Friday, if everything works out as expected, Friday they will begin milling and filling the US 30 area between State Road 9 and Lincoln Way, so basically within our corporate boundaries. That should take place for at least the next 2 weeks if everything goes to schedule. After that, they will probably have some tinkering with like lights and signs and things like that that will cause some delays, but the major delays are probably going to take place in the next 2 weeks. We did put that into the press release so that everyone knew. We're trying to keep the public as informed as possible since we were caught so off guard the last time they decided to start restricting lanes. And to be fair to NDOT, they did apologize to me for that. But in any case, just to let you know that. I think I reported it last time, but I wanted to say it again. I have an intern working for me that is taking pictures of the city. So if you see a high schooler going around taking pictures of all kinds of things, it's so hopefully we have some really good pictures to kind of use for promotional type things to kind of tell our story, Columbia City story, if you will. So. Solid Waste Board, I told you we Solid Waste Board had met. There's a lot of good things happening there. They did approve purchasing five kind of, and actually Nicole's on there too, so am I stealing your thunder? Were you going to talk about this?
No.
Okay. So anyways, they approved, I don't want to take away from her report yet.
No.
They have approved kind of doing a trial in Columbia City of five little recycle tote things that you can attach onto the trash tote, because sometimes what we have a problem with is if you have a blue tote and a gray tote next to each other, whatever tote's closest, they lift up trash, toss their trash in. So these kind of connector things, they have a signage that says recycling. They also have holes for bottles and cans and things like that. So Solid Waste Board approved purchasing five for kind of trial purposes for the rest. I'm not sure if they'll get it in time for the next downtown thing, which I think would be JA, but kind of as a trial, and then possibly expanding that throughout the county for downtown events and things of that effect. So, just as an FYI, our corporate challenge team placed second in scavenger hunt, fourth in pickleball, and we won the mini golf challenge last night. So congratulations to them. I think the county's still winning because they won the first two events. So we got to pick up the pace, I guess, in that regard. But
so. Gotta be closer.
Say what?
We got to
be closer now. I don't know where they placed last night, but so and we are still working on the fall festival. Now that 3-on-3 is over, that went fairly well. Of course, the first year you have some bumps, and they're working through those bumps, but. Seemed like it had a fairly decent participation, and so that's all I got, I think, for you tonight.
Is our fall festival, or the fall festival, is it a joint thing with this?
Okay, so yes, it was a city thing. Main Street has agreed to kind of be more of a host now for that. It was really never, well, let's say it this way. the idea or the thought was to bring it downtown, because then you're focusing on downtown again and not just rehashing 4th of July at the park. So the idea is, yeah, to move it downtown, and I thought, well, if it's downtown, it makes a heck of a lot more sense to be with Main Street than it does with the city. So we are partnering together on that.
But it's separate than the fall festival that was being, that there were advertisement on the 4-H fair? Is that separate? I might have a copy. Hold on.
Okay. I don't know what fall festival you're talking about at the 4-H fair, or that they were advertising there, unless it was the Main Street group advertising.
I have a sign here, I think. The Autumn Harvest Festival.
Okay, is that the Autumn Art Festival?
Harvest. Autumn Harvest.
Harvest Festival. That must be something different then that I don't know.
Okay,
about.
So that's not ours. That's
that's not ours.
Okay.
Because remember, there's also an Autumn Art Festival that's ran by the, help me, Whitley County
Art.
Yeah, something like it's. I think it's WCAAF or something like that. But anyways, so there's a lot of events that are going to take place in the fall. And we found out at Port of Works they're going to have a zombie run of some sort, Zombie Run 5K. So on October 18th, if you see zombies around, don't worry. It's part of an event.
Yeah.
And we told them they need to post signs so that people on the trail. Yes.
On October 18th?
October 18th.
That's the same day as the Autumn Harvest Festival.
Just a little.
Perfect. So, in any case, things are moving fairly smoothly outside of the sewer repair that's going to happen. But that's, I think, all I have. Dan?
Nothing now.
Really?
No.
Ben?
The ordinance committee met. As Tim said, the nuisance ordinance will be coming soon, as well as the food truck ordinance.
Woo!
Awesome.
Go food truck ordinance. Food truck. Okay. Thank you. Nicole?
I just wanted to mention, I think everybody got a letter, and there was a letter to the editor from Bruce Coyle about a concern about fireworks. I don't know where we can go with that, but I just wanted to reiterate that it was sent. And
we talked about it at fairly decent length today in the ordinance committee about what we could or couldn't do. Marsh was going to do some research on whether or not we could have what the state required us to do and what we could do from there. Correct?
Yes. Yeah. I had the letter at home. I haven't read it because I just got back. But anyways, I know there are specific days, but if the ordinance review committee is looking over it, I think that's probably good.
Sure.
Is somebody... I know he's in your district. Mm-hmm. Have you responded
no,
to him?
Not
or?
Yet.
Okay.
I figured I'd wait till after tonight so I can tell him that.
Okay.
He's actually, he's a friend of mine too. He's actually on vacation right now.
Okay. Okay. I just want to make sure that we're giving some kind of response back.
I will. Mm-hmm.
So, okay. And I think, as a side note, I don't know why this spurred this, but as you probably heard, our state senator is getting ready to be deployed to Afghanistan. And there will be, I guess, after he's, assuming he's reelected, although there's no one running against him, assuming he's reelected, that after that, I guess, he's going to take a leave of absence, and my understanding that there is going to be a caucus of the precinct committeemen in that district for the person to replace him during his leave of absence. So whoever that individual ends up being, I will make contact with them, as I have with Senator Banks, and just kind of let them know where the city's at and, you know, make sure that line of communication is open go from there. I've also made contact with Christopher Judy with the fact that he's the only candidate running in that race, as last I knew. I've made contact with him and discussed some of the items that we have going and just kind of try to fill them in on things that we've had in the past. So I don't know why I get spurred that, but just thought I'd let you know. Okay, Bill?
Nothing.
Press?
Nothing.
Okay, if there's nothing else, we'll call the meeting.